Before you give up on computers, try the computer you already know how to use. Take Macintosh out for a free overnight test drive.
Hello, and welcome to the Goldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifin Elijah. Joining me today, the doctors were impressed, his father proud. For when he emerged from the womb, on his little baby face, he already had a 4-inch beard. Buster kind is here.
What's up, man? It was 3 3/4, but I like to round up, so yeah.
It's better to round up on these things. Yeah. You need to be that exact. Also with us, once Business Insider realizes they pay him to play Pokemon Go all day, you'll likely find him back at Cult of Mac, covering the Apple News, getting real work done. Alex E. Heath.
Back with us again. Unlikely.
What are you just gonna maybe get a cardboard sign and just stand on the freeway exit?
Will block you for food.
People will pay you to play Pokemon. Yeah.
So. Who? Besides Business Insider.
No, there's companies out there. You can be paid to be a professional trainer and catch Pokemon for people.
Can you become Justin Bieber's personal Pokemon master?
Oh man, that would be awesome. Right? I could go to like Hawaii with him where he's hanging out in the nude. And
well, that's a bonus right there. Wow.
Check out,
I might apply for that job too.
Check out Snorlax with him.
What the hell's a Snorlax?
Oh, well, come on, Arifin. Don't act like you.
No, I'm sorry. Man. Is it a Pokemon?
It is a Pokemon.
You got to ask the Beavs what his Snorlax is.
What his Snorlax looks like. I don't think I want to do that. He has bodyguards, too. I have a feeling that if I asked him that question and made eye contact while doing so, I'd probably be attacked by his bodyguards.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Squirt.
After 30 minutes of terrible audio issues caused by Alex's lack of knowledge about how the internet and his computer work, we're finally back. And we have got so much to talk about this week. Oh my goodness, it's all coming together. We're having leaks galore now. We're going to be talking about some more features of the iPhone 7 that I don't think we've ever talked about before. We have got some more solid details on the MacBook Pro, and this thing, it's looking like the dream machine. Everything Papa Earth has ever wanted in a computer is all culminating into one machine. And I just couldn't be more titillated by what I'm seeing. So we'll be talking about that. If you stay tuned till the end, we're going to be doing an all-new Under Review. We're going to be talking about the gadgets and or apps that we're reviewing. Buster, did you know we were doing this?
No, I didn't get an alert on that.
It just occurred to me that you never replied. Do you think you can come up with something on the fly?
We'll see.
Maybe you can use that app that Alex was touting earlier.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right.
yeah,
just pull an El Caney. Just look around your desk randomly.
Yeah.
And you'll find something. Before we hop into all the juicy news, let me go ahead and say thank you to Casper for supporting this episode. Casper Mattresses. Are you still sleeping on that hand-me-down bed that your parents gave you like 10 years ago? That's how I started in life. That's how everyone starts, right? You end up with a mattress that your parents gave you, one that they probably used to do it on, and now you're using it to sleep in college. Maybe you're older. Maybe you're in your late 20s or even your 30s, and you're still using some old mattress. Casper has designed what is considered by many to be almost the perfect mattress. It has just the right amount of spring and bounce. They spent thousands of hours developing this mattress. It has a unique combination of latex and supportive memory foam. It has great reviews online. And Alex, you said that you actually got one. You were dying to tell us what you thought of it. You got the whole set, dude. You got like the sheets and everything, right?
Yeah, I have a Casper.
Look at this guy.
Sleepy cornucopia of goodness.
Yeah, and how many hours a day do you sleep now? 12, 13?
Probably just like 8 or 9.
That's it.
Like a normal human. Yeah.
And how have you been liking your Casper mattress so far?
You know, it's nice. It's very, it's a good mix of like firm and soft, which I like.
Okay. All right.
And the pillows are nice.
Yeah.
Although not quite as firm as I would like.
You like them like a brick. That's okay.
I like them like a brick. Yeah. The sheets are nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And what size did you get?
Oh, you know how I roll.
You got the King XL, huh? That California King?
The extra small twin.
extra, for you and your wife?
Yeah.
I mean, well, why not?
You I mean, she doesn't sleep in the bed with me.
Oh, you guys have separate beds. Caspers.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Actually, I respect that. That's a fine
it's
way
like,
to go.
It's like that show... Well, is it? Yeah, it's in that show, Masters of Sex. Did you guys ever watch that?
No,
where they sleep in separate beds?
Yeah.
And there's like some movie where I know
what movie you're talking about. Doesn't it's like part black and white for the movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Pleasantville.
Yes, is that starring Tobey Maguire?
Yes, it is. How did we figure that out?
And Reese Witherspoon.
That's right.
I'm yes. so glad that you remembered the name of that because I've been trying to watch that movie
it's
for years.
It's actually a pretty good movie.
I remember seeing it on the E! Network one afternoon and just being like, wow, I want to watch this.
And it mimics or it reflects your lifestyle too. You and your wife had the separate
Absolutely,
beds.
Yeah. I was like, wow, someone else does this.
Someone else, this isn't just us. I mean, it's the only moral thing to do. Right. Well, if you need a new bed, here's the great part about Casper. It's a totally risk-free ordeal for you. You can try it out for yourself for 100 nights. Just take your mattress that you currently have, prop it up against your wall, order the Casper. Comes in a small, compact box. You just deflate it wherever you want to set it down. And if you decide it's not for you, you can have Casper pick it up. They'll refund 100% of your money. They'll even take it back for free. So you risk absolutely none of your hard-earned cash. And Casper mattresses are shockingly affordable. Nice mattresses generally cost $2,000, $3,000, even more. You can get a king-size mattress, a king-size Casper, for $950. If you head on over to Casper.com, though, and you use the code CULTCAST at checkout, you will save $50 towards any purchase. That's with code CULTCAST at checkout. Oh, shoot. That is Casper.com/CULTCAST, and make sure you're using the offer code CULTCAST at checkout. Thank you to Casper for supporting this episode. Alex, are you on iOS 10?
I am.
Do you have any HomeKit-enabled devices in your abode?
Nah, man. You I'm don't. Living that non-connected what about, life.
What about you, Buster? Do you got any?
What?
Wait, do we have Lander on the show? I thought we had Buster Heine.
Sorry, I was zoning out, man. I was catching Pokemon in my mind.
Catching them in your mind.
Yeah. Whoa, dude, that's next level. In
yeah,
your mind.
That is. That
bro,
is.
you need to get me on that.
I'll send you the
that's
banner
a hot ticket
bro.
Right there. I just wanted to mention this real fast because I had a revelation. So for those of you using iOS 10, there is a new home app that allows you to control things at your house that are HomeKit enabled. I have a bunch of HomeKit enabled lights, and you could always control them when you're on your network, but the new app allows you to control things off your network. So you could be up 100 miles away, 300 miles away. And with the click of a button, you could unlock or lock your doors. You could turn your lights on and off. You can do a whole host of things with your HomeKit enabled devices. And previously, well, I guess if you're on iOS 9, you can't do that. You have to have an app from the HomeKit device manufacturer to allow you to do that. And usually it's not easy to do and not intuitive at all. So this is a really cool feature in iOS 10. And we had talked about this previously, that you would probably have to have a new generation Apple TV to make use of these features, which is true. And we also realized that with iOS 10, you could do it with an iPad. So if you have an iPad on your home network at home, it acts in the same way as a Apple TV, and you can control all your HomeKit enabled devices. A very useful, super cool feature of iOS 10 that I kind of stumbled into and I've been enjoying a lot. So that's in store for you guys that haven't installed iOS 10 coming up in the next month or so. Let's talk about, before we talk about iPhone 7 and the new MacBook Pro, can we talk about this rumored killer health device from 2017?
Killer health device? You mean the Apple Watch 3?
You think that's going to be what it is?
I mean, it's totally Wait, possible.
What about the Apple Watch 2?
Well, yeah, what Apple happened to Watch 2 in September, October-ish.
Okay.
Apple Watch 3 next year. But I think Tim Cook at one point did say like Apple was looking into a health device separate from the Apple Watch that could undergo like FDA approval and stuff like that for certain health features. So I'm wondering if that's it.
So, according to the highly well-known and very accurate Chinese news outlet, Economic Daily News.
Yeah.
Do you guys read this daily?
Every day.
Yes, every day.
Every day. All of us Apple fans do. Apple is developing a killer, quote unquote, health device that is scheduled to make its debut in 2017. The device will reportedly monitor heart rate, blood sugar, and your blood pressure, which I don't know how it would do that, considering doesn't it need to like inflate to do that?
I don't know.
Right?
Man.
You go to the doctor, they put that thing on your arm and they like blow it up with air and then they deflate it. It needs to inflate or something. So I don't know what that device is gonna look like. Anyway, what do you think, Buster? Is this this gonna come to fruition, you think? Economic Daily News says yes.
Well, I mean, it sounds like they have a ton of details on this killer device.
Well, yeah, it's going to do heart rate, blood pressure, and blood sugar. I just said
but
that.
But what kind what of device it is, they don't say. They just say it's killer, bro. So
they
I don't
do
know.
They do say that it's killer. That's a good detail to know.
It sounds like really soon to get excited about something that's coming out in 2017. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
And you know, I know the haters are mad at me for being negative, but when it comes 2017, maybe I'll be positive about it, bros. There's just
maybe
no reason to get excited. Yeah. I mean, it's just such a vague report. I mean, that would be cool. It'd be awesome if your Apple Watch could measure your blood sugar and blood pressure.
Heck yeah.
But I mean, the Apple Watch already does heart rate.
Yeah, that's true.
And I thought they were supposed to do something else with it, or they were looking into it. Weren't there like a bunch of rumors that they were looking at? They were looking into like sweat sensors, and I feel like blood glucose, or maybe that's the blood sugar.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say too. Yeah, remember when we were first talking about the Apple Watch?
Yeah.
When it was first rumored, it was gonna do all these things.
Right.
It had so many sensors in it.
Do you remember when we thought the Apple Watch was gonna be cool?
Yeah.
I haven't worn mine in months.
Oh really?
I'm waiting for watchOS 3 to come out and hoping that gives it like some kind of usability for me.
Funny thing about watchOS 3 is it took me forever to figure out how to get to the dock thing, and because they completely changed, you know, the button on the right side, not the crown, but that button. Now you click that and it kind of acts like a home button to take you into your apps, like, and you have 10 on the sheet in the dock. It took me like 2 weeks to figure that out, though.
Well, it took you 2 weeks. It's gonna take El Caney until watchOS 4 to get it figured out.
Yes, I know. It's like oh, they are adding like some decent things, but I don't think anybody's gonna figure it out, you know, like, or
yeah.
Use it.
El Caney Jess is finally getting on the watchOS 2 train. And if they change it on him now, it's just going to be, he's just going to have a coronary. Alex, it's not a totally hopeless device. I mean, it's a cool watch.
It's totally hopeless, man.
It does definitely does not do as much as they had promised.
It's such hot garbage.
It's like, not
hot
garbage.
Watch OS is such fire trash garbage. Like, I can't even begin to articulate it has to be the worst piece of software that Apple has ever made. And yes, I'm looking at you, Game Center. Like, this is still worse
now,
than
now
Game
I know
Center.
You're tripping. No, there's no like, way that's true.
Yeah.
The Apple Watch is like decent hardware that could be a compelling smartwatch, and then it's just got this terribly designed, buggy, slow. Like, I can't load anything on watchOS. There's like no point to even try to use it.
No, there's
V1. You're saying it's worse than V1 Apple Maps.
Yeah, because at least
do you
like,
remember when we came to pick you up in Vegas and we almost all died because we had to drive off that
true.
Overpass?
Oh yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. No, I think it's worse. I mean, I think whoever was in charge of like shipping the original watchOS should be fired. Like, if they're still working at Apple, then you know they're lucky. Because
I would say it's an uninspired design that takes a lot from iPhone. Like,
the design is whatever. It doesn't work. It's like so buggy.
Right.
The apps don't load. The like nothing connects. Nothing works. I mean, I'm just so disappointed.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see where they go with it, because I mean, I agree with a lot of your criticisms, and there's a lot of room for improvements. And to me, the Apple Watch still isn't a compelling product. I mean, it's a cool thing to have. It's like a toy.
Yeah.
But it's not something that I feel like people need to have in their lives, or that is...
You're not missing out, that's for sure.
Extremely useful. Yeah, you're really not missing out. Anytime people ask me about it, that's often what I tell them. I think it's cool to have, but yeah, it doesn't do anything that your iPhone doesn't do better. And the App Store for the Apple Watch and the Apple TV for that part, I don't know what they're going to do with those two things, but they're really languishing. And I don't necessarily see a usefulness for Apple Watch apps. I really haven't seen one yet that is actually something that I would consider to be useful. Have you guys?
No, there's not. I don't have a single third party Apple Watch app on my Apple
Watch. No, see, I would. So, like, I went biking in Brooklyn over the weekend, and I would have loved to have City Mapper. Supposedly has a fantastic Apple Watch app. Like, the design of it looks great. In theory, it would be a great thing to have on my wrist when I'm biking and I don't want to have my phone out, but I want to see a map of where I'm going and directions and all that. Like, perfect use case for the Apple Watch is biking. So I was like, okay, I'm going to, you know, dust my Apple Watch off and try to use it. And the app just wouldn't load. It just wouldn't load. It just, like, kept spinning forever. And I was like, okay, screw this. And I took it off because, like, it just wouldn't work. So, I mean, that's been my experiments with the Apple Watch have just been trying to use an app and it just not working at all.
I've been having a ton of problems with the heart rate sensor. It's never right. It always tells me that my heart rate is way too low. Like, I'll be working out and I'm just going at it, right? I'm like huffing and puffing. I'm grunting, making man grunts, just sweating like crazy.
Getting your pump on.
And it says my heart rate is 50 or 60. And there's my resting heart rate isn't even that low. And it does it all the time. And unless my Apple Watch is positioned perfectly on my wrist and not jostled or moved in any way, it starts to become wildly inaccurate. Or it will say my heart rate is like 180 or something. And I took it into the Apple Store and they're like, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with your Apple Watch. So it must be a software related issue.
Are you doing like you're exercising during this time?
Yeah.
Do you have the exercise app on?
Yes.
Even like just an open exercise? Because I found, like, even if I just go to the gym and lift weights and stuff, it won't track my exercise or my heart rate at all while I'm doing that. But if I open just, like, an open exercise and start that and keep it open on the, like, view where you can see, like, your heart rate and distance and some other stuff, it'll, like, show that my heart rate's gone up quite a bit.
Yeah, that's the screen that I leave it on. Uh-huh. And every time I look, you know, because it turns off when you move your wrist, and every time I look at it again, it will either be thinking or it will tell me some heart rate that there's just no way is accurate. So I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if it's a software issue or a hardware issue. Maybe it's just my particular Apple Watch, because I've had this issue for quite a while and Apple doesn't seem to think I have a problem. Anyway, we've talked way too long about the Apple Watch. let's talk about the iPhone 7. So we're probably just weeks away from the keynote events. I've been hearing rumors of September 7th. Have you guys heard anything?
September 7th?
That's like, iPhones? That's like the report, right?
So let's just go with that date. And now the rumors are just coming out. They're just spilling out. We're just seeing stuff left and right. So let's just run through some of this stuff, and you guys can tell me what you think about this. Let's start with this one. This one comes from the Japanese news outlet Nikkei. And they said that Apple had actually originally planned to do three iPhone 7 models. Remember, guys, we talked about this on previous shows.
I feel like, personally, I thwarted this because we know Tim Cook listens to the show all the time.
He's a big fan.
And you know I went on that big rant. So I feel like after he heard my big rant on how stupid it was, he was like, yeah, Buster's right. I don't know what Phil was talking about. Let's cancel that third model.
Well, we have you to thank.
Yeah,
because according to this report, they were indeed actually going to make three different iPhone 7s. There was going to be the 4.7-inch. And then there was going to be the 5.5-inch, but the 5.5-inch was going to be just a bigger version of the 4.7, so essentially just a larger screen. And then there was going to be the 5.5 Pro Edition, which is going to have the nicer camera and maybe a nicer screen. We don't really know exactly what they were thinking about doing, but now it seems as though they're just going to make a 4.7 and the 5.5 Plus, and then the features that they were planning on putting in the Pro will just end up being in the Plus model, and you'll get that for the regular Plus Premium. You're not going to have to pay. This has so many P's in it, I can't even say this. You're not going to have to pay extra money for the iPhone 7 Pro features. Those are just going to be given to you for the Plus price. So that's a good thing. So let's talk about some of these features that we may end up seeing. This is according to Bloomberg. And Mark Gurman, isn't he over at Bloomberg now?
Indeed.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing Bloomberg? He's doing his Bloomberg thing.
That's right. He's giving them scoops out with old Bloomy.
he's over at the Bloomy giving them the scoops. All right. So this, I don't know if this is from him. So according to this report, Apple's iPhone 6S could be the last model with a physical home button. We've talked about this previously. According to this report from Bloomberg, the iPhone 7 will instead feature a pressure-sensitive home button that uses Apple's Force Touch technology. Hearing this, it immediately makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, they're going to be rolling out Force Touch to all their devices, don't you guys think?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
The standout features on the Plus are going to be a dual camera system and a re-engineered home button that responds to pressure. So it's going to be like the trackpad on the new MacBook Pros, and they'll have haptic feedback. Here's an interesting tidbit. The dual cameras on the larger iPhone 7 Plus will produce brighter photos with more detail, according to a person familiar with the device. And since both sensors capture color differently and simultaneously take different pictures, the end results will be merged into one photograph and will be brighter. And I'm guessing, since they're taking different color measurements, maybe more like HDR, you know, like with a higher dynamic range. Now, if this ends up being not just a gimmick, and Apple isn't known to put gimmicky features on their phones, so this is true high dynamic range imagery, I think these two features are actually pretty compelling for the iPhone 7, and it kind of paints a much more appealing picture for the 7 Plus. Don't you think, Buster?
You think that the Touch ID and the camera?
I think so.
I don't think the Touch ID will really matter to anybody. But I do think the camera will be a big deal. If I was somebody who wanted the smaller 4.7 inch iPhone, I would probably be pissed that like the dual lens camera is not coming on that one too.
Right? Because it's not going to be a inconspicuous feature. It's going to be pretty obvious. The phones are going to look different.
Yeah.
And on the Plus currently, people look at it, they would never know the camera was nicer.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I just want the nicest photographs possible out of my brand new iPhone. You're telling me I have to buy the big ass one to get the best pictures?
That sucks.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm like super excited now, actually, for the 7 Plus.
Yeah. I'm not excited at all.
Really?
You're not?
I literally, my eyes were glazing over.
Oh, God.
I thought I heard someone snoring. Was that you?
Go back to Brooklyn, you hipster.
This is going
to
be such a snooze fest, man. And then next year is going to be the
So if they have the 7 Plus and they got the dual lens camera and they have the quad HD display, which will also
We haven't even talked about that yet. Okay.
With the quad HD display, everything is already in that resolution natively, and then the iPhone downsizes. So by moving up to a quad HD display, Apple would probably be adding better performance to the iPhone 7 Plus. So that makes me excited. Dude, the camera makes me the most excited, though. And waterproofing, too. You guys know how much I break my phones. So I don't know. I think it could be the 7 Plus will be a big draw. But the
waterproofing has been a rumor since, 2012.
Not really. Not as serious as this one, though. Like, this year, this is like when Irfan
said there was going to be. No, this is like when Irfan said there was going to be a new Apple TV for like 4 years.
and hey, was I right, Alex? Was I right?
Somewhat.
Last year, I feel like there was some murmurs of waterproofing, but it wasn't as big as like this year. It's like Buster, man.
We've been hearing a lot about waterproofing.
No, we have.
Yes, we have. What are you talking about? That's the entire purpose of the headphone jack.
Purpose of the headphone jack is to make the phone thinner and to make people buy it.
But it's not even going to be thinner, Alex. It's supposed to be a little bit thicker. So that's the other thing. It's if Apple wanted to, you could make the iPhone. Pad or the iPod Touch is thinner than the iPhone, and it still has a headphone jack. So I don't think they're doing it for thinness. I really do think they're doing it for waterproofing, because you have the Touch ID. If it's a pressure sensitive too, that doesn't go down. So then you only have to waterproof the speakers.
There's still a lightning port.
Yeah, exactly. But that's just a metal connection, so it's way easier.
Versus a metal analog.
I don't know, man.
Jack?
I'm not Johnny Ive. Give me a break. I don't know.
He makes a compelling argument, Alex.
No, he doesn't. No, look.
Alex is just trying to be freaking Eeyore over here.
No. This phone is going to be a snooze fest. Apple is going to try to pitch it as like something for pros or like pro photographers. And people are going to be more pissed about the fact that there's not a headphone jack than any other cool feature that could possibly be on the phone. So it's not even going to matter.
So you're not upgrading is what you're saying.
No, I'm going to upgrade.
Exactly. It's such a snooze. I don't need anything on it, but fuck it, I'm going to upgrade.
Well, that's because I upgrade once a year. I have the like T-Mobile plan that lets me upgrade once a year. So
okay, I'm going to
upgrade, but man, next year is what I'm excited for.
Well, why don't you go to an Android phone for a year if it's that new? Because
Android sucks, man. Okay. Android sucks.
What about those Google Nexus phones that are coming out? Those sound cool.
No, man, I can't do Android. My mind just like doesn't work with Android. I just don't understand.
Your mind likes I'm a Mac, good bro. UI yeah. and nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we mentioned the quad HD display. We should at least mention this a little further. So another rumor that came out this week was that the iPhone 7 Plus will boast a 2K aka quad HD display. And the iPhone 7 will get upgraded from its 1334x750 display to a 1080p screen. I don't know if this will end up being true, but I do know that the current iPhones do 4K video. And eventually, Apple is going to want to put a 4K screen, or at least a 2K screen, something that's more than 1080p, in their phones, because they allow you to take 4K video currently, but there's no 4K devices to watch them on. Unless you have an iMac, and most people don't have an iMac. So I think this is clear. It's clear that Apple is eventually going to have to roll out 4K or 2K displays across all their devices. It's only a matter of time. So I hope this is true. If we got a iPhone 7 with a really compelling camera, which we usually get a nice camera upgrade in these off years, and waterproofing and a quad HD display on the 7 Plus, I might go 7 Plus this year.
Yeah, dude.
And I've been saying for months now exactly what Alex has been saying. Not excited, not excited, not excited. Snooze fest, snooze fest, snooze fest. And now that we're getting some more, what seem like pretty solid details on what this thing's looking like, I'm actually getting excited too. And I think I might upgrade as well.
Do it.
But do we go Plus?
You gotta go. I mean, the Plus has all the good features. That's the only problem I see.
Yeah,
is the iPhone 7, that will be a snooze fest. But the iPhone 7 Plus will actually be exciting.
Yeah, 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 yeah. My juices are flowing now.
Get that iPhone. Woo! Yeah.
Woo! Oh, juices are flowing.
What kind of juices?
Oh, you know, just what kind of juices.
He's busting a squirt.
Busting a squirt. Ow. Oh my gosh. Who's there with you? Man.
Squirtle.
Squirtle. Is that what they're calling it now? Squirtle? That's new to me. Mm. I thought that was a Pokemon character. The Squirtle. Gotta catch the Squirtle. Okay. Before we move into this MacBook Pro, these MacBook Pro rumors, and these come from Mark Gurman from Bloomberg. And as many of you know, Mark Gurman's been accurate a lot in the past, and he put out a piece that talked about a lot of things that we've talked about on this show previously and outlined some of the features we may end up getting. Before we do that, let me go ahead and say thank you to Tunnel Bear for supporting this episode. Tunnel Bear is the bear that tunnels, and normally Leander does these promotions for Tunnel Bear, but I'm happy I have the opportunity to do it this time, because I've started using Tunnel Bear to keep my private data safe when I browse public internet. So for those of you that don't know, Tunnel Bear is the simple privacy app that makes it easy to browse privately and enjoy a more open internet. And you can do all sorts of stuff with Tunnel Bear. Once you activate it, first of all, it's a VPN, super easy to install and use. You can use it on all your devices. It will secure your browsing on public Wi-Fi, help you get around blocked websites and censorship for those websites that your work doesn't want you visiting. And no logging. They don't log what you do. So the information from the sites that you browse, confidential. That's important for Leander, because if anyone found out the things that he was browsing on the internet, he'd probably be put in prison. And that's a true fact. They allow you to hide your internet or your IP address and curtail online ad trackers, and Tunnel Bear is trusted by over 10 million users so far. Buster, didn't you say you had a little story to share about Tunnel Bear?
Oh, yeah. If you've been really disappointed in NBC's Olympic coverage You can use Tunnel Bear to help you VPN to the BBC's Olympic coverage. I only know this because my mom used Tunnel Bear to do it, and I was totally surprised. So it has to be super easy.
Did she know about Tunnel Bear via our show? Or did she
Just looking for a VPN, and she had to check that gymnastics stuff out and was like, how do I do this? But yeah, she figured it all out on her own because, that's it's that crazy. Easy. Yeah.
And
PSA, hold on, PSA. Tunnel Bear does not advocate the illegal use of its services, which is everything that we just mentioned in this app.
I don't know if this stuff's illegal. I mean, certainly the stuff that Leander does is illegal, and no one should ever find out about it, including his family. Definitely not his family. But, you know, if you're going to tunnel into another country and watch coverage by the BBC, I don't think that's illegal.
Definitely illegal.
No. Alex is not Alex E. Heath.
Are you
Esquire,
a lawyer?
Ladies and gentlemen. Let's not go to Alex E. Heath for legal advice. If you want to check out Tunnel Bear, head on over to gettunnelbear.com. Gettunnelbear.com. And here's the thing. You get a free account. You can use 500 megabytes of data free every single month. And when you sign up, they don't even need your credit card information. You just sign up. And then if you decide that you want to use more data, you can sign up for one of the pro accounts. They're really inexpensive, too. I think one of the plans is like less than $5 a month. And then you have unlimited data. So that's gettunnelbear.com. Thanks to Tunnel Bear for supporting this episode. Okay, let's talk about these new MacBook Pros. Ooh. You know what?
Oh.
In honor of this news, I just want to play a little audio track to express how I really feel. Here it goes. Hallelujah. Amen. Apple is preparing the first significant overhaul of its MacBook Pro laptop line in over 4 years, according to people familiar with the matter.
Love people that are familiar with the matter.
The best kind of people. Alex, what are you typing on these days? Probably a MacBook Air, huh?
MacBook Air.
What? You went down from the Retina MacBook Pro?
So at work, it's a MacBook Air, and I still have the MacBook Pro.
Are you going to be upgrading when this new thing comes out?
You know, I actually might. I have the first gen 15-inch MacBook Pro Retina, so it's like 3 years old, and I've had basically the entire computer replaced because it was really buggy. So I had the logic board replaced, the battery. I just had the battery replaced, had the external casing, the Retina display, the heating unit. Basically, everything has been replaced. So I think I could probably sell it for a decent amount, and then I might get this, actually. I don't want to advise people to buy this because buying the first gen of any radical hardware redesign, especially on the Mac line from Apple, is usually a bad idea.
But the thing is, though, this isn't radical. It's just significant.
Yes, it is, man. If they're adding a like extra touch display and like new hardware enclosure, I mean it's going to be pretty big.
Like
and
at least wait a couple months for production run to get a little deep, so they can figure
we'll
that out.
Yeah, we'll just wait till Gen 2. Honestly, yeah.
You're killing me. I can't wait till Gen 2.
I really wish I would have waited till Gen 2 on my 15-inch right
now.
Dude,
with how much stuff
second,
went wrong,
so much.
I honestly think that was a bigger upgrade than what we're going to see here, because you went from a non-Retina display to a Retina display, and the amount of pixels that they had to
This, you know, this computer is going to have a new, different kind of touchscreen display on it. This is going to be the biggest kind of redesign to any Mac. I mean, like the story says, in like years, it's way bigger than the Retina.
I don't think that's true.
That was just the Retina display, and you remember cluster F that was.
You're adding a new input interface.
Yeah,
to it.
It's going to be a mess. I would definitely tell people to wait.
if you have the stamina to wait another another year for this machine, God bless you. But I do not. I'll be pre-ordering this the moment Tim Cook utters anything about this. I'm going nip stiff. Just stiff.
Nip you're
gonna
see stiff,
through my
huh?
Yeah, that's right. You're seeing through my shirt. I'm going to be excited. So let's talk a little bit about this. So we've mentioned this before. This may not be news to you. We're expecting a fancy OLED touch bar above the keyboard that will feature customizable function keys and a new detail, Touch ID, a Touch ID sensor in the power button. So you'll be able to unlock your computer, make purchases online, presumably, by touching your fingerprint to the Touch ID sensor. Also, it's going to be a little bit thinner, but not tapered like the MacBook Air. And I think one of the most exciting pieces of information that I saw yesterday was it seems as though Apple has acknowledged the fact that their GPUs they put in their previous versions of the MacBook Pro have been not up to snuff, which I totally agree with. I think they're for the amount of money you pay, they're not nearly as powerful as they should be. And so they're going to be putting in more powerful GPUs, reportedly. And I should also mention, I'm talking about the higher-end machines with the dedicated GPUs to entice gamers. This is turning out to be just almost everything that I could possibly want in an upgraded machine. I wanted something drastic. The only thing that's kind of a bummer is the USB-C connections. Oh, man. What was it on that prototype that we saw that Cultimac got, Buster? Was it four USB-C connections?
I can't remember. I think it was four, though.
I think it was four. So four USB-C, no Thunderbolt, no MagSafe. No MagSafe! One of the best features on any computer ever invented. But overall, a extraordinarily compelling computer. The only bummer is we might not see this in September, according to this piece by Bloomberg. I mean, if we're not going to see it when they introduce the iPhones, when the heck are we going to see this? What do you think?
October, bro. Yeah.
They're going to call an event just for MacBook Pro?
Well, I don't know if they're going to do an iPad Pro 12-inch update as well, but they used to do two events, one in September, one in October.
Damn you. Damn you. So you think they're going to do iPhones in September and then other stuff in October?
Yeah, MISC. A MISC event. Man.
A MISC event where they introduce the other hardware.
Here's all the other dumb stuff we've been working on.
I just don't think they're going to be able to do an entire event just for iPhones in September.
What do you mean?
Although
iPhone
I guess
plus Apple Watch update?
Yeah, okay. If they do the software, they're going to go through the software.
Yeah, they're going to go through all the stupid new software that they already talked about, WWDC.
Right.
Yeah.
Son of a B.
Sorry, man. You got to keep waiting, bro.
I've been waiting so long.
I told you before WWDC, it's going to be a while.
You did say that, but I immediately forgot that and believed what I wanted to believe after that. And I was thinking early September. So, in any case, it's coming. It's on the horizon, my brothers. Here it comes. So start saving your pennies. Let's get excited for it.
Dude, you're going to need to save a lot of pennies for this thing.
I know, it's going
to
be so expensive.
It's probably going to be like...
You're going to make it rain pennies.
Showering Tim Cook with them.
Yeah. You know what this means, though? I mean, if I have to buy a new MacBook Pro in October, that means I got to save all my dollars, which means no more dollar bills for Mrs. Heath's G-string.
Oh! Poor Alex.
Oh! No? No, nothing. Okay. Let's move on to Under Review, the final segment in the show. This is where we get to talk about the hardware and or apps that we're reviewing. And Alex, I think you and I have a similar product this week.
No.
Oh, snap.
I've got such a good thing, man, that I've been reviewing. Oh, man, it's so great. Buster, did you have a chance to pick something?
Yeah, I got a scale.
Oh, really?
A Withings Bodio Cardio Scale.
You got one of those, huh?
I guess. Yeah, I got one of those. That's cool. Whatever.
Okay.
You guys can go on about your hoverboards. Whatever.
Yeah. Well,
I stand
Alex,
on mine too, though.
Hey. Do you want to go first? What have you been checking out?
No, I want you to go first.
Okay. You want me to go first? All right. I have been reviewing one of the most fun pieces of hardware that I have ever gotten. It is called the... Ninebot by Segway Mini Pro, and it's just a hoot and a holler. I feel like Casey Neistat rolling around my hood on this thing. It is a hoverboard, but it's Segway's version of a hoverboard. So it's bigger, it's beefier, it's faster, it's UL certified, which means the batteries aren't going to explode and light your legs on fire. And it is listed as a personal transportation device, which is similar to what they classify a, or maybe even the exact same thing, as what they classify a wheelchair as. So from what I've been able to gather, you can ride this thing anywhere because it's not classified as a hoverboard. It goes about 10 or 11 miles an hour, so it's like a pretty fast jog. It has a 15-mile range, and these things are a blast to ride around on. I've been walking my dog with it. For those of you that follow me on Instagram, you've been seeing those great pics and vids because I've been taking them left and right. And I just never want to walk again. I think these things are the future. They're just silent transportation. You can go anywhere with them. And it's so much better than walking. Who wants to walk anymore? Walking's for suckers.
I'm with you, dude.
Right?
I'm with you. I'm done with walking.
I'm done with walking, too. I may never do it again.
Walking was so, like, 2015, man.
Definitely. That's exactly how I feel. And we're on our way to those hover chairs from Wally, man. This is step one. Now I just need some, like, VR goggles and something to sit in, and I'm there. I'm not going to walk anymore. These things are not cheap, though. They are, well, they were when they first were listed, they were $1,000. And now I think they are $800. They lowered the price recently. And I actually like this thing so much that I have recorded and edited an entire video review on it, which I haven't done a video review in a long time. Buster, remember when I used to do those?
Yeah.
I used to do those, man.
5 years
and
ago.
And so I booted up, and I'll put a link to my YouTube channel in the description. And I may not have the video up by the time this show comes out, but I will have it up by this weekend. And so you'll be able to check it all out and see the Mini Pro in action. And you're going to want one, man. I'll just tell you that right now. You're going to want one. And if you can afford it, you should buy one because they're that much fun. Alex, what do you got? Probably like a Swagway, huh?
Bro. So my pick is the Swagtron T3 hoverboard.
So you can't, the one that you can't ride anywhere, huh?
T3, huh?
Yeah, it's actually illegal in New York, which sucks. But you know what? I do it anyway.
Because I'm a rebel.
I do, man. They see me rolling and they hate
it. They don't even say anything to you. They're like, look at that patrolling. Guy. He's bad.
They're trying to catch me riding dirty.
But they can't catch you. Because you're going like 8 miles an hour on your Swagtron.
Yeah, so the Swagtron T3 hoverboard is the updated version of the T1. Well, there's a T2, actually. I can't remember if I had the T1 or T2. But this one is... I have both now. And this one... This newer one is really nice. They redesigned the exterior to make it more durable, and the material just feels nicer. It feels a little more luxury. It's got some pretty BA rims, some shiny rims, and some lights that light up when you move that are kind of cool. And it has, this is the best part, it has a Bluetooth speaker built into the hoverboard. So it Bluetooth pairs to your phone, and you play music through the hoverboard while you hoverboard around. So
I would actually use the hell out of that.
Oh, yeah.
I would use that all the time.
So last week in the office, for example, I was rolling around the office on the hoverboard playing Riding by Chamillionaire, that song I was just referencing.
Ridiculous.
You probably look so cool. In my mind, cool. I can see you, dude. You look so baller.
Yeah, so it was great. I do wish that the speakers had a little more bass. Maybe that's something they can work on for the next model.
Yeah.
I think for, you know, the first generation of the Bluetooth speaker-enabled hoverboard, it's pretty good. They have a learner mode, so it's like you can, if you're new to a hoverboarding, it'll kind of help you. It'll be a little more responsive and not go so fast or be so jittery, which is nice for people. But if you're a hoverboard master like me, man, you can just go for it.
The first time I got on this Mini Pro for the first time, I was so wobbly. That was kind of like the angle of my video, is watch a grown ass man ride a hoverboard for the first time without any protective gear on. Yeah. And I don't want to spoil anything, but it's not easy the first time you step onto one of these things. You do not feel stable whatsoever. And I may or may not have crashed. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil it, but you got to be careful when you get on them for the first time. I should also mention, the Mini Pro has a remote mode. So in the app that you download, you can control it remotely with the app. So you don't even have to be on it. You can just drive it around, run it into children, animals, what have you.
Right.
So it's kind of fun in that regard too. How much is the Swagtron, Alex?
$500.
All right. So the Mini Pro really isn't that much more than the Swagtron. That's surprising.
No.
Okay. Swagtron, $500. Buster.
Yeah. I got a scale. You stand on it too. It doesn't move. Tells you if you're fat and if you need to walk more instead of hover
instead
more.
Of being on your Swagtron.
Yeah.
Less Swagtron, more walking.
Yeah. I mean, Alex doesn't need exercise because he's super skinny. So I get why he hoverboards.
You're right.
Yeah. But I need that. I need all the shit I can get. Yeah.
I mean, I have a natural six pack, so I don't need it either. But it makes me feel good, though.
Right. Nice.
So, well, this skill that you got, I have a previous version of the Withing skill, and I actually really like it a lot because you can have multiple people use it, and it recognizes, based on the weight, who's standing on it.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually a super awesome skill. This one's even updated. It can tell you your heart health, too.
Well, yeah. So that was what I was going to ask you about, because that was kind of the big marquee feature for this scale.
Yeah. You know,
does it actually work, or is it just kind of a gimmicky?
I think it's a little bit gimmicky, to be honest. Because it doesn't measure, they use like pulse wave velocity to, I think they measure, I don't know if they measure blood flow or they're measuring your arteries, something, but it doesn't work every time. Like sometimes I'll be on the scale and it'll be like, oh, we didn't get an EVF or a pulse wave measurement this time. And I'm like, well, what the, you know. So it's a little bit buggy for that, but just having a smart scale is super nice.
So convenient.
Because it tracks all of you. It tracks your weight for you, you know? So, and it sends it to your iPhone so you can see, I've been drinking too many beers and burritos this week. So
right.
Pull that back. So it's actually, a huge grade up upgrade from the dumb scale I bought at Walmart a couple years ago.
Mine actually will show you a little graph, and it will show you like how much weight you've gained or lost, like a little line graph. Does yours do that too?
Yeah, it does that too.
Even that is super handy.
Yeah.
Yeah, smart skills are nice, man. How much is that one?
It's $179.
$179. Okay. Kind of spendy for a scale.
Right. But it's super slim, super sleek. Looks really nice. Like, so you're not embarrassed to have it around your house, you know? So,
right.
Yeah, I think it's a nice scale.
And having it tracked to your phone, mine does that as well because it connects via Wi-Fi. And then anytime you open up your phone, your weight is just right there. It's really handy. It's a really convenient feature, and it actually makes you use your scale because it tracks everything for you. So if you can afford that, it's probably a worthy purchase for people who are trying to like manage their weight and stuff.
It'll help you get in shape more than the swag way. That's all I'll say, you know? Like
that's definitely true. Although I will say, Alex, you can vouch for this. Being upright on a hoverboard is actually not... It's not like a lazy position to be in. Like my calves and stuff were sore the first few days that I did it. How about yours?
I don't know about that. I mean, on the hoverboard, it's because I'm just so fit, but
your calves are on point too.
Yeah, but no, hoverboard doesn't do anything to your calves. I mean, you're just standing there, you know. So you're just leaning with.
But you got to lean back and forth and stuff.
Yeah, but you're using your body weight. It's not like you're like putting a ton of pressure on your. On your calves, you know.
Oh, well, maybe mine's different. I've been riding mine all around the neighborhood too. I mean, how many miles have you logged on yours? I mean, you're going from like the office to the fridge, or from your desk to the fridge. That's
Yeah.
I'm doing like 5 miles at a time.
Yeah, you got to refine your technique, I think, bro.
Yeah.
I just am super tense the whole time, so I don't want to fly off and embarrass myself. Like the first time I was on inline skates, I bought some like racing skates. And I'd never ridden them in my life, and I thought I was pretty baller, and I was going around this curve in this park, and then there was this girl coming towards me, and I just totally lost my balance and just dived into the bushes, and she saw the whole thing happen, and then I sold those skates on Craigslist.
Nice.
I used them once, like $200 skates, and I sold them on Craigslist, so I don't want that to happen again to me.
Uh-huh.
Because it hurt my pride and my knees.
Damn.
All right, should we go ahead and wrap it up there?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Let's do it. Hey, you know, we always talk about our Twitter handles, but everyone's doing stuff all over the place. Alex, where can people find you?
They can find me on the website businessinsider.com or my Twitter account, which is Alex E. Heath.
And Snapchat, right?
Oh, yeah, Snapchat. I'm all up in your snaps, Alex E. Heath on Snap.
If I can figure out how to use Snapchat, I'll follow you. Buster, where are you at?
I'm BST3R on Twitter.
Okay.
Come and get at me.
Gila Shark.
Gila Shark, bro. Come on. Gila Shark. Man.
Instagram with a G.
Yeah, with a G.
And you can find me. I'm at Airfon on Twitter and on Instagram. And I've been putting out Instagram stories like almost daily. So if you want to see me carrying my dog on my hoverboard when we go on our walks together. That's something that you should definitely go check out, because I'm putting out all sorts of interesting content. That's E-R-F-O-N. And with that, my friends, that is all the CultCast we have for you guys this week. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Alex, you do the honors, please.
Next time in a world.
Is that movie voice?
Where we'll see you next time.
I thought it was like Dr. Claw, actually.
Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Inspector Gadget.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
You mean the Matthew Broderick version or the cartoon version?
Both.
Oh, gosh. That's where you went wrong.
I never saw the Matthew Broderick
me
version.
Me either, because he should have never been Inspector Gadget, man.
In fact, I can't even recall the previews from that show. Was it any good?
Yeah. It was okay.
Alex liked it, but he was 7 at the time, so it's...
Yeah.
He was probably younger than that, yeah. Dude.
I was in diapers.
He was probably like 1.
I was in diapers.
Actually, you may not even been alive when that came out. It came out like in the early 90s, didn't it?
I definitely wasn't alive in the early 90s. Nope.
Yeah, you were born in like what, 2007?
Yeah, like 4 years ago.
It did come out
the first
99,
time I saw you, Alex, and I was like, I was looking at Buster in my mind. I was thinking, I don't think this guy's gone through puberty yet.
Yeah, well, I haven't, so. Tell it to my wife, man. It's really awkward.
She's still waiting. That's a secret he kept until the wedding night. She's like, wait a second.
I was like, by the way, baby, my voice hasn't dropped yet.
Just wait. Like, this is how we do it.
No, actually, like, this is like your pretend voice, but you really talk like this. You've just been pretending
babe,
for like 15
I really
years.
Sound like this.
Oh, man. I'm spitzing.